time for Lickin' on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It is Monday, December. Gosh, it comes out like a hairball. So much to get done. But anyway, it's good to have you with us. Monday, December 3rd. Hope you all had a great Thanksgiving holiday. And again, we're so excited. And that Thanksgiving seems like a blur its way in the back. But we are moving forward as we march towards Christmas. Had our first Christmas party this weekend. Also celebrated my 34th wedding anniversary. So it was wonderful. Anyway, so good. So thankful for so many blessings that we enjoy in this country. One is free speech and the ability to do this podcast. The podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we are grateful to have you as our listener. Our commitment is to bring you timely information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime and anywhere. Let's see here. The news on upcoming travels and things like that. I'm going to AIM event in Philadelphia on the 12th and 13th next week. And if you're in the area, we're going to be looking forward to seeing you there. Today's program, we've got someone who's in the Philadelphia area joining us. A good friend, just someone I have so much respect for, Pat Sherlock. She's been on the podcast before, but Pat is the founder and president of QFS Sales Solutions and a sales improvement consulting and training firm, and she has got some of the biggest clients out there, big institutions, and has made a significant difference. Really interested in getting her perspective today, listeners, on the whole world of LO comp, where's the trends going, especially after we had Anthony Casa on with AIM, who's there again in the Philadelphia area, and then also we had Matt Ishbia on last week with what's going on with wholesale and especially at UWM. So stay tuned for the hot topic as we get into more on production. Before we get started, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, the Mortgage Bankers Association of America, as well as Arch MI, the creator of the innovative RateStar program, as well as Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data analytics solutions, and Open Mortgage, a leading buyer of reverse mortgages and the home of some top LOs in the nation. Some of the best LOs. That's a great group of people there. I enjoy working with them, and they're growing like crazy. As the market contracts, nice to see those that are growing. So check out openmortgage.com. Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative, two collaboratives that we're a part of. Pleased to be a part of both of these collaboratives. Lenders One is located in central part of the country in the St. Louis area, and the Mortgage Collaborative is based out of Nashville. And both these collaboratives allow you to create competitive advantage by meeting and getting close and personal, as I say, with the leaders in our industry, with Fannie and Freddie, many of the vendors. So I tell you, we've gotten some wonderful, deep, meaningful relationships by being a member of both of these collaboratives. So check them out, Lenders One and the Mortgage Collaborative. Also, special thank you to Brent Emler and the team there at Velma. She's been also Knowledge Coup, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. And finally, we say a special thank you to our regulars, Alice, Andy, Allen, and Joe. Good to have you here with us. Let's run over to MBA from Rob Van Raphorst, the MBA Mortgage Minute. Rob, what do you have for this week?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Raphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Earlier this week, FHFA published the 2019 maximum conforming loan limits for mortgages purchased by the GSEs. The baseline maximum for conforming loans will increase from $453,100 to $484,350. In most high-cost areas, the maximum conforming loan limit will increase from $679,650 to $726,525. Also last week, President Donald Trump signed an extension of the National Flood Insurance Program. The program is now reauthorized through next Friday. And finally, last week, after several weeks of market volatility, 30-year fixed-rate mortgages decreased 4 basis points to 5.12%. That's it for this week. Thanks for joining us on MBA's Mortgage Minute.
Yeah. Good job, Rob. Appreciate our partnership with the MBA. Work closely with them. Very excited about Bob Brooksmith's contribution to the industry and to the NBA and his leadership there. Miss David Stevens. I was thinking of him this weekend. Wish him well as he's stepping into his next phase of his life. David Stevens will definitely be around and with us in a different capacity. So look forward to getting him back on the podcast at some point in time. But do go back and listen to the interview we did with Bob Brooksmith. It was in October, and it was during the conference. So he did a great job. Really like this guy and very excited about his leadership that he's bringing. If you have not checked out the digital business card, you can do so at the Lickin' On Lending website, not the Blog Talk Radio website where we host the program, but from the Lickin' On Lending podcast. In the right-hand corner, it says the digital business card. Click on that. You'll see my card come up. Here's why this is so important. We're looking for new and effective ways in which we communicate. When I was with our guest, Pat Sherlock, at the MBA conference, I always love getting together with her, and I shared that with her, and she goes, I just love these kind of new things you keep bringing up. So we'll get her thoughts on the digital business card here later on. But it's like carrying a website in your wallet that you can just have the QR code scanned, or you can text it to someone. There's so many ways to share it. And once they have it, then it notifies you when someone opens it, when they share it. So effective. Can you get that out of a paper card? A lot of reasons to be considering the digital business card. If you haven't, check it out at our website. It's on the right-hand screen of the website, and it says digital business card. It's on the menu bar up there. Take a look at it. Les Parker, good to have him with us, and always interested in his music parody. So let's see what Les Parker has for us today with TM Spotlight. Les?
She's real fine, my boy.
TM Spotlight Soundbite is brought to you by Lone Logic. Well, May saved her pennies, and she spared no dimes. Giddy up, give me votes 3-2-0, for she knew there would be no time. Giddy up, give me votes 3-2-0. British Prime Minister May agreed with the European Union on a Brexit deal, but it's a race to reach 320 votes to win passage in the Parliament. Brexit plus other European events help keep the dollar strong and oil weak. When mortgage investors focus on the global economy, then rates tend to fall. So Brexit matters. Will Prime Minister May cross the finish line by March? If she's not removed, then yes, but only after the Brexit engine gets adjusted. Nothing can catch her. Nothing can stop her. 3-2-0. These views are my own. Go to tyoungspotlight.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
My favorite old groups, the Beach Boys. Good job, Les Parker and Gary Quattrobone. They team up and do that each week. I love how that's produced. And there's a lot of information in there. Check out tmspotlight.com to subscribe to Les's daily newsletter. It is free. Also, he has two paid versions I encourage you to check out, but the free one's got so much information in it. Check it out. I love that segment. Anyway, let's get over to Open Mortgage. Our friend Scott Gordon is getting a lot of reviews. And before we hear from Joe Farr with what's on the economic calendar, let's run over to listen to Scott Gordon give us update on the science of sales. Again, very effective way to communicate your message is by giving away information. And here's Scott giving some great information away. Listen and learn.
Stories help customers relax and listen. They're memorable. They establish trust. And most importantly, they speak to the part of the brain where decisions are made. We make subconscious, emotional, and sometimes irrational decisions with one part of our brain. Then we justify those decisions with another. Stories provide depth and context to facts, which leads people to making secure and informed decisions. One poll found 30% of strangers are trustworthy. But when you asked what percentage of people you know, the median answer jumped to 70%. Telling a story is the most effective way to make someone feel like they know you. Stories provide glimpses into your world and invite your customers to tell you their stories. This cements trust between the parties, and once you have a customer's trust, you've usually got their business. A 2013 study found that only 1 in 5 sales calls provides enough stories to satisfy the customer. So why tell a story? Because it works. If this sounds too good to be true, it's not. It's just the science of sales.
Good job, Scott. Love the science of sales segment. Go check out Open Mortgage at openmortgage.com. Joe, good to have you here, friend. What's the market's got for us today? Is up a bit?
Not a lot, especially given the news over the weekend, truce in the trade war. It had an effect early on where the stocks were up pretty big. MBS prices were down a little bit, meaning mortgage rate, mortgage yields would have been a little bit higher. But since early in the day, stocks are still up, 270 points. But MBS prices are basically flat, kind of leveled out. So not a big deal for the mortgage market, but a nice bump in stock. I guess over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a 1,000-plus point drop in the Dow. And now over the last week or so, including today, a 1,000-plus rise in the Dow. So been a little bit of a roller coaster, but good to see that we recovered some of those losses. The economic data that came out this morning, Dave, was pretty strong. The ISM Manufacturing Index beat expectations by a pretty good bit. But one of the components in that had to do with prices paid and came in with a drop in prices. So to the extent that the big ISM number, meaning more activity, would have been inflationary and possibly bad for mortgage rates, the prices component of this thing kind of was good, went the other way. So not a big reaction to that economic data. Looking at last week, we thought it was going to be a pretty significant week. We talked about all the events that could move the market. For the week, MBS prices improved about half a point, so it was pretty good. As the MBA segment said, mortgage rates fell a little bit, and as I mentioned earlier, the Dow gained back 1,000 points. The big event that caused the most movement was Fed Chairman Powell's speech on Wednesday. He took a more dovish tone to his thoughts about the economy and the Fed, and made comments to the effect that he felt like the Fed was much closer to what's called the neutral rate than what he'd said just as recently as in October. So that led the market to believe that there will be fewer Fed rate hikes in the coming, the one in December is still expected, but maybe fewer in 2019 than what had previously been expected. And, anytime the Fed becomes or offers a little looser monetary policy, good for both stocks and bonds. So that was good and contributed to a good week for mortgage rates. The minutes of the November 8th Fed meeting came out just after Fed Chairman Powell's speech, and it kind of reinforced what Powell said in his speech and gave the impression that they were maybe closer to reaching that neutral point than what had been thought in the past. So also good for the market. During the week, the major inflation report came out that the Fed prefers to focus on, the core PCE, personal consumption expenditures.
Yep.
And it showed that inflation was a little lower than what was expected. And as you would guess, that too was good for mortgage rates. Second look at third quarter GDP came out during the week. It showed no change, so it wasn't a big deal. The housing data that came out during the week was really pretty weak. New home sales were down.
I saw that. That surprised me.
Pending home sales were down a lot. And the realtors put out these reports, identified the rise in mortgage rates that has happened over the month or so prior to then, because most of the month of November we saw declining rates. And, that might pick up because of that little drop in rates that had happened. Dave, looking at the week ahead, there was supposed to be a Fed speak, a presentation to the Joint Economic Committee Congress was going to happen on Wednesday, and due to that being a national day of mourning for President Bush, that speech or that meeting has been canceled, and both the New York Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ are going to be closed for Wednesday as well. The big event, big economic event for the week is the jobs report that comes out on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
190,000 net new jobs are expected. No change in the unemployment rate is expected. They are expecting to see, they being the economists that create the consensus, they are expecting to see a rise in the average hourly earning component of that measure. A rise to 3.2% would be the highest it's been in years. So it is expected, so it shouldn't be a shock if it happens, but it has been a point of concern, as we've seen the unemployment rate.
Yeah, from an inflationary standpoint.
That's been a concern, so maybe that is starting to heat up. Before the jobs report comes out, the ISM services will come out on Wednesday, and then there are Fed speakers on the calendar for pretty much every day except Wednesday this week. Fed has been in the news. There'll be an additional chance to hear more about their thoughts on what to do. And that's my report, Dave.
Good job. I appreciate that. You know, I'm really surprised about the housing numbers. If it's an inventory, is it interest rates? It's just with millennials. Man, we got to get the millennials off the fence and into the market. That's just the bottom line of this thing, isn't it?
It's been a number of factors. You know, for most of the year, the lack of inventory has been blamed. But recent slowdowns in sales have caused that inventory number, when you measure it based on number of months of sales, to extend out to a fairly normal time. So it's hard to blame it on that anymore. Same time, we've seen a rise in rate.
Contributing factor.
Yep,
that's a factor. Well, appreciate it, Joe. Stay tuned. I can't wait to get your participation in the Hot Topic segment with Pat Sherlock we got coming up here shortly. Listeners, we'll be right back after this brief word from our sponsor, Knowledge Coop.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
And check it out, knowledgecoop.com. They do a great job. Appreciate our partnership with them as well. Appreciate them as a sponsor. Alice Alvey, he said, you know, it's everything is, you know, you learn more if it's connected with emotion. I would say there's only one emotion that's probably not accurate about, and you would certainly know this as a industry leading trainer, especially there at Union Home Mortgage, is boredom. So I know you don't do boring training. So how are you doing this fine Monday, Alice?
I'm doing great, Dave. How are you?
Good, good. That does that.
Good.
She's got a new headset, folks. We can hear so much clearer. I love it. So crystal clear. It's crazy. Got to get one of those. I like it. So anyway, what's you got for the legislative update, my friend?
Well, as you know, Congress isn't doing a whole heck of a lot as they were on recess. And then when they came back, you know, focused on other things. But we're not getting a lot out of them, certainly, as this is the tail end of this particular session of Congress. So our mortgage bills in particular, we don't expect to see too much movement on anything before the end of the year. And then, of course, in January, they'll all have to start all over again, right, for the next two-year term. In any case, as you heard Rob mention from the MBA update about the loan limit increasing, I thought I'd throw out the numbers that go for FHA and VA, right? Since both of those are tied to both FHA and VA tied directly to Fannie and Freddie increases, people always sit around going, well, when is FHA going to publish their numbers? I haven't seen the announcement yet. Well, that's true. It'll probably come out any day now. But it's always going to be 65% of what Fannie and Freddie publish. So for the single family, since the new number is $484,350, that means FHA's new ceiling or floor, however you want to look at it, I call it a ceiling. FHA calls it a maximum floor, right? So would be $314,925. So that's a lot of great news across the country to open up a lot more buyers for FHA. And then subsequently, VA will automatically increase the bonus entitlement to cover up to 25% of this new loan amount. So that'll be the $121,087. So good bump for both of those. Now, keep in mind that there's a big difference. Fannie and Freddie, you can start taking those apps today. As long as they're going to be in pools, it'll be delivered after January 1st. But FHA and VA, you'll want to make sure that you're okay with when you're going to send those in for insuring. So it's a little bit of a longer window. But just wanted everybody to make sure they connected those dots with the FHA and VA increases that will go with the announcement for Fannie and Freddie. And, you know, happy applications, everyone. That's your Christmas present. You, Dave.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Appreciate it, Alice. You know, I just think it's really interesting to see if we're going to have anything come out of this for the next 2 years out of Congress. I think that, you know, so long as the Senate's strongly Republican as it is, and now we're seeing, it's just going to be real interesting. I think this is going to be just a year of a lot of talk and no action. So, but who knows?
Well, that'll be a challenge with Fannie and Freddie's, you know, extension or their world coming to an end pretty quick here, and so hopefully they pick something up so that we get, maybe they'll just kick the can down the road and say status quo.
Yeah.
But we'll be definitely watching that in 2019, since 2020 is the expiration.
Yes, that's right, 2020, that's it. Well, good to have your report, appreciate it so much, but let's jump over to Jim Jump for a word from ArchMI. Jim?
Hi, David. ArchMI is happy to be a proud sponsor of the program. Today, I'd like to let your listeners know about RateStar from Arch Mortgage Insurance. RateStar makes it easy to choose what type of mortgage insurance coverage your loan needs. Quotes are delivered in seconds and represent our most competitive ArchMI rates based on the strength and quality of the loan application. That's the power of RateStar. Getting a mortgage insurance quote has never been so powerful or so simple. And with that, I'll turn it back to you, David.
Appreciate it, Jim, and appreciate the sponsorship of the podcast and the partnership with ArchMI. Check out MI's local rep. If you have not talked with and met with them, be sure to do so. Great group of people and a great organization, and they do so much for our industry. I look at the leadership they bring and at so many levels. I could go on and on about it, but I want to get over to Alan Pollock and get his thoughts and get a tech update. Alan, good to hear from you, friend.
Hey, what's shaking? So, something funny today. And, you know, a lot of people, they make fun of Florida, right? Like, I saw something in the news today that somebody was arrested and held up a taco as their ID, right? And the title was only in Florida. Well, this one, you could say only in Texas. There was a family in Texas. Their Christmas display mimicked Clark Griswold. It was in Austin, which I believe is very close to you. And
yes,
what happened, it had a dummy that was hanging from the roof of the house. And a security camera caught a guy walking by and ran to his aid, and he yelled, "Oh, mister, please hold on." And the man couldn't reach the dummy. He ripped the ladder off the house, and he ended up calling 911.
There you go. A lot of things going on in the tech space. What is the contraction in the market doing for the tech industry, especially with their SaaS model? I had several questions that come in, and I know you've got some prepared thoughts, but I wanted to get your thoughts real quickly. Is this contraction we're having in the market, consolidation, a lot of companies, at least independent mortgage bankers, being forced out of business, are we going to see some companies failing as a result? And several people ask, how do we get any insight, especially when they're privately held? Many of these tech companies are privately held. We don't get financials, and it's like they won't know that they picked the wrong vendor until they can't get dialed in or they went out of business. So thoughts on that, Alan?
Yeah, great question. And I, you know, it seems to be the topic that everybody's talking about, so I'm happy you brought that up. Honestly, and you're starting to see it, there's a lot of partnerships with different vendors, some large investments with certain vendors, which has not secured them financially to go out to the market, but secured them with that individual partner. Probably saw TD Bank did a deal with Roostify. That's a big investment. And I'm not saying they're taking Roostify and holding them to their own, but, you know, there's a lot of investments like that going on. And so what I think is a couple things. I think, you know, you've talked a couple times about, you know, at the end of the fourth quarter, we may possibly see 2 months, 2 quarters of negative earnings, and that's going to cause some major concern. What I think is going to happen is I think loan officers more than likely will wind up connecting with outfits that have good technology systems, because it's not just about offering borrowers a good experience, but it's about the back end of the house. So I think you're going to see some tech companies that may get purchased when certain lenders or bigger institutions think of the build versus, and you will see some that go out of business. There's something that concerns me, which is data security risk. And that's actually something I was going to talk about today, but to stay on your topic for a second, David, I think that's really important. You know, too many institutions have to rely on so many people to have to touch a transaction, and wire fraud is such a big deal right now. And so because of that, if you don't have the right funding and you don't, and you're hurting, how can you implement the right systems and security practices? How could you have the right audits in place? And so lenders will be forced to have to work with those folks that have those things in place. So there is going to be some stress to the vendors in our industry, and it's going to be interesting to see whether their technology is sold or whether they just continue to struggle to make it.
Interesting. Very thought. What do you have on data security real quickly?
Well, you know, I wanted to mention, everybody by now has probably heard about Marriott, the massive breach that they just announced. 500 million guests. And what was in, it was part of the Starwood chain. And what was in that? It was names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, port numbers, loyalty numbers, and even date of birth. And what they're saying is that even in some cases, encrypted payment card data was accessed, and it's possible the key to decrypt it was also accessed. There are components that are needed, but they feel that those were stolen. Marriott did obviously start notifying their guests. This has been going on for a long time. They're saying that it's it's more than a few years. 2016
what?
Likely, or 2014 is where, yeah, they say that actually breached by hackers since 2014. And, you know, where that made me think.
And this is the first we're hearing about it?
That's right. It's very similar to some prior ones, which I'll leave some names unnamed. But, this information is golden for hackers. You know, they sell that information on the black market, or they use it themselves for identity theft. And so I started thinking, I went back to all the show notes. I keep a lot of notes on every show we do. And I've talked about data security a few different times. I didn't want to go back to those, but do you know, what does it cost, David, to actually have a data security event? I know you don't know the answer. It's about $3.86 million per event on average. And IBM just recently sponsored, it's called the Poneman Institute. They're considered the gold standard benchmark of data security. And what they said is that data breaches are up almost 7% to over $3.86 million. And, that brings me to what we talked about earlier. I mentioned quickly is wire fraud. I'll save that for next week because it's more of a topic than to mention briefly. Wire fraud is continuing to increase its technology, and there's been a survey that actually shows that lenders, real estate professionals, fintech advisors, everybody's looking at what can we do to reduce wire fraud? How can technology help us? So I'll talk about that next week. But, back to the Clark Griswold, I hope everyone has fun putting your Christmas displays up and you get a...
Hilarious. That's hilarious. Good job. Good job, Alan. You did a great job. Appreciate it. That's really interesting. I think that's probably most alarming. It shakes our confidence in large institutions where we put our data online, and a company like Marriott, which has got such a otherwise stellar reputation, and to hear that that's been going on for that long and they're just now coming out with it. Unbelievable. So, thanks so much. Yeah. Appreciate you, Alan.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
You're looking forward to it. Andy Schell couldn't be with us today, but he did take the time to record a message. And let's run over to hear what Andy Schell has for us. I'm the Profit Doctor.
Hello, Licking on Lending. This is Andy Schell, the Profit Doctor. I cannot be there live today because I am teaching a class to CPAs who audit independent mortgage banks at a conference that we hold every year in December through an organization known as the AHA CPA. So I thought today I would talk about the audit. Every HUD mortgagee has to have an independent audit that is prepared by a licensed and qualified certified public accountant. This audit is to be submitted to HUD by March 31st, or within 90 days of fiscal year end, which for most folks is March 31st. So the audit is a very significant event. It's the baseline that establishes the warehouse line lending loan amount, so it's important that this audit be done well. So here are a couple of key elements to consider when hiring a CPA. First off, you need to make certain that they know mortgage lending. Not every CPA auditor knows mortgage lending. In fact, unless they have many mortgage lending clients, you might want to think about getting a different CPA. Mortgage lending is very unique, and it's important to have somebody who fully understands some of the advanced dynamics that impact the financial statements of a mortgage lender, including the unrealized gain in the interest rate lock commitments that drive the creation of a derivative asset, as well as mark-to-market issues affecting the presentation of the mortgage servicing right value or the TBA short position mark-to-market. In addition to all of that, there's also significant revenue recognition issues that come to play. All that to say, it's important to hire a CPA who is an expert in mortgage lending. Not every CPA is an expert in mortgage lending. In fact, there's only about maybe 10 specialized firms in the country. In preparing for your audit, one of the most important aspects is to plan well. Plan way in advance. You want to make certain that every single month end, you're reconciling the significant balance sheet accounts, making certain that all of the accounting dynamics flow together with the income statement tying back to current period retained earnings. The auditors are going to look at mortgage loans. They're going to look at your balance sheet. They're going to look at your P&L. If all of that is perfectly reconciled, your audit will go much more smoothly. It's also important to work with your auditor to make certain that you know what they need in order to make that March 31 deadline. The last thing you want to have happen is to be in the middle of March and realize there was a lot more information that they were going, that the auditor was going to need from the independent mortgage company. So planning and preparing an orderly process for the launch of the audit that honestly should have already started. Audit planning should have started in September, and initial on-site review should have started already. So if you haven't hired your auditor for your 2018 audit, you need to get on that right away. I can give you names of three or four very well-qualified CPA audit companies who are experts in mortgage lending. The last thing to talk about is when we get to the report being released for HUD and for the warehouse line lenders, there are a number of significant elements that affect how much capital is presented. The derivative asset is one of the most significant issues that mortgage companies are facing. And the derivative asset is impacted by the extent to which costs to complete are applied to the calculation of the derivative asset. It is important to have a thorough conversation around this point with your auditor before the audit even starts. You don't want to be surprised expecting to have a $500,000 derivative asset, which adds to your net worth, only be $100,000 because there was a change in the way that the accounting practices were applied. So talk about the big things. Make certain that you understand what the end result will provide, because this audit will be your audit for the next year. Your warehouse line lenders, any regulatory body is going to want to see your audit. So plan ahead, do it right the first time. Make sure you've reconciled your balance sheet accounts every month throughout the year. Have good reconciling schedules for every single balance sheet account throughout the year. And your audit should go very smoothly. If you have questions about this or want to talk more, be sure and shoot me an email. I'll be happy to set up a time to talk and even introduce you to some of the CPA auditors who I know and work with who are excellent at auditing independent mortgage companies. So my email address, andy@mbs-team.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And thanks, Dave. Back to you.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Now we're going to run out to our sponsor, Black Knight, for a quick word from them, and then be back with Pat Sherlock, our guest on the Hot Topics segment.
As housing prices climb, U.S. homeowners are holding more capital equity than ever before. Effectively capturing the equity market could pose a unique challenge for lenders who may be limited by the capabilities of their current loan origination system or consumer lending platform. Lenders looking to streamline their home equity business processes can benefit from Black Knight's LoanSphere Empower loan origination system. Using this robust and intelligent technology, Empower can originate both first mortgages and home equity loans on the same system. This single configurable solution will help lenders improve margins, support regulatory requirements, and enhance customer satisfaction. To learn more about Empower, visit blackknightinc.com today.
Yeah, check it out, blackknightinc.com. Great group of people and some amazing technology. Go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts that they've done. Excellent material and innovative and defining where the future is going, as far as I'm concerned, in many ways, in the area of mortgage technology. Someone who is also an expert in the area of mortgage loan origination is our next guest, Pat Sherlock. She's the founder and president of QFS Sales Solutions and provides a lot of sales improvement consulting and sales training to the industry, some of the top lenders. And today we're going to be talking about mortgage loan origination sales strategies that can help you find success in 2019. Pat, good to have you with us, my friend.
David, excited to be here. It's a terrific show you do, I must say.
So much fun doing it. We love it, and we love getting friends back on the podcast, especially when they have as much content as you do. Let's start off talking in this Hot Topic segment about a real hot topic, and it's called LO compensation. What are you seeing out there from your perspective?
Well, David, obviously, just as you said, it's the hottest topic in mortgage banking. Whether you're at a conference or you have two managers and you're talking to them, they're always talking about when will the loan officer comp change? Number one topic by far. But I would have to tell you, in the grim reality what it is today, I haven't really seen too many lenders actually address this issue. So it's a lot of talk,
yes,
but they're afraid to do it. They'll lose their staff. What I am seeing, which I do think is an interesting trend, is that loan officers themselves are asking, because they're losing deals, which they haven't lost before, and they're adjusting and going to secondary marketing to get an adjustment to the margin. So, in other words, that they could be more competitive on price. So I do think there is a trend line of loan officers seeing this every day, that what we have just assumed would be the continuation of LO comp as staying the same. The loan officers themselves are looking to address this issue.
It is so frustrating to see that they're already getting over 50% of the gross revenue on a transaction, and then
right,
they're finding it difficult to compete, so they want now more of the company's margin, and that's a trend, and I see evidence of that, especially in a contracting market. You know, every
right,
deal is so special, they don't want to lose it. Do you think that mortgage banking is just another retail business that just can't seem to adapt to today's customer expectations? What's your thoughts?
Well, I think you're right on with that. I would tell you that mortgage and housing finance by itself is really just part of this whole change that's happening in what I call the retail world. We are in a retail apocalypse, period, and that's really being
yeah,
driven by, because customers obviously have different expectations than what they had before. And when you overlap and you actually look at what is happening with businesses, if you look at the companies that are on the Fortune 500, we just move outside of looking at mortgage banking. We look at that listing of the mortgage 500 companies in the year 2000, and you fast forward to now, 50% of those companies are no longer in business. So we're not talking about something that's unique to mortgage banking. It is really being driven by this whole kind of reframing of what the customer wants and what they expect. And some of the things that they're looking for, and again, these are the tough issues that management teams need to really think about. You know, customers really want to have customization. So this whole mass advertising, mass component really doesn't work in this new world. And when you look at, this also leads to that we have to have in mortgage lending, just like many retail businesses have to have, we really have to have a culture of constant improvement. And that's something that too often you don't see in mortgage banking. So I think it's a combination of what's happening in retail, and then now it's really hitting home to mortgage lending.
Yeah, it's really so true. And there seems to be an attitude generally in the marketplace to there is, I'm not going to change. I've got enough capital. I'm losing money, but I can outlast my competition. Then we're going to fix everything after all the competition's gone. Are you seeing this as much
well,
as I am?
I definitely am seeing that. There is definitely an opinion by many management teams that we're going to outlast the competition. But I have news for those institutions that even if you look at the MBA's own forecast, I mean, they're looking at 2019 being relatively flat. And likewise, you know, 2020 also being flat. They really aren't seeing a turnaround with improved volume until 2021. So if your game is to wait and outlast everybody, you're going to have to outlast them for more than just 3 months. And I do think it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the first quarter to the first half next year, because so many, even the warehouse lenders are saying that so many lenders are basically not meeting their covenants. So I think this outlasting strategy is a strategy that really is going to have to be a lot longer than what people think about.
Yeah, especially if it truly is going to be 2021 before we see this, they're going to lose their warehouse lines, they're going to lose their approvals. If they have,
right,
especially when they have two back-to-back quarters of losses, that means
right,
warehouse lines go and investor relationships. So many of them are going to be rolling back to possibly being a broker. What are your thoughts on that? We're looking at AIM, ARRIVE, we're looking at the Trade Association AIM and the momentum it's having, and I want to get
right,
your thoughts on that, especially as we look at where the whole industry is going.
Well, I think you hit on some trends that I think are interesting, and I think the big trend is that there will be less lenders. And as a result of that,
oh, yeah,
many originators aren't going to have a home, and for all the reasons that we've already talked about. So the options for these originators are really kind of just a couple. Either are they going to find a home, and if that's not likely to happen, then we are talking about you're going to see originators being faced with the issue starting their own broker business. So I do think you're exactly right that because of this issue of lenders' financial situations, they're not going to find a home. You already are seeing that at the management level, which, again, many companies are eliminating those positions. And really, this is really going to play down to the originator side. So I do think you're correct that originators that have been in the business for a long time are not necessarily going to find a home. And I'm sure you get calls every day, because I certainly
I do
every day, from people trying to find a position. So I think you're exactly right that if you want to stay in this business, you're going to have to look at this option being your starting your own broker shop.
Yeah, that whole direction, the trend to wholesale. Now, there's going to be some wonderful exceptions to that, and Alice Alvey works for one of those exceptions.
Sure.
Union Home is providing a great strategy for originators. They're going to be one of the survivors. Bill and his team up there with Alan, and then bringing in executives like Alice, do a great job. Alice, your thoughts on this. What are you seeing there at Union Home as far as what are you doing about LO Comp? Can you comment on that?
Well, I think I can comment just in general that, you know, our originators do a lot, right? Our origination model and our operations model is very different from a lot of companies out there. So I think my question, until we're comfortable with the path that we're on, I think my question for Pat is, you know, do you see companies as they think about this comp restructuring, thinking about, well, what if I do change their role and it is more of a consumer direct model that allows you to have potentially a difference in compensation? So do you think the model is changing in order to address this at some companies?
Well, I think, Alice, you're exactly right that there is certainly a trend line where companies are kind of redirecting a model. It really does ask the big question of what do I want an originator to do, which is your most fundamental issue. And I think the model that is playing out where you are seeing, you know, reduced financial payout to the originator, it tends to be on the call center side of it. So I do think the trend line of controlling costs does play in together with what your model is. Under the distributed retail approach, which is obviously, you know, a lot of mortgage banking, I am still seeing today, this very day, payouts that are, you know, really outrageous payouts. There's no wonder why the lender is losing money. So you're exactly right. It does have to come back to the model and really how you're going to structure it. I will tell you, if I had to make a prediction for the next 5 years, the way mortgage banking is going, I think it's going to look like where it's going to be a salary component and some unit bonus or something like that. And that's something you already see in call centers.
Interesting. That's interesting. Alice, do you have any other questions?
Well, I think, so in that, as you're trying to change, how does the use of social media in their role come to play? So they have to be more tech savvy, you know, just the roles and responsibilities of the loan officers changing? Are you finding that how well they're embracing technology or their own personal growth and development and production, is that changing the comp model that lenders are willing to consider?
Well, I don't think there's any question, and again, and I see this every day, and I'm sure, Alice, you see it too, that we do have originators that are not essentially really up to speed on the new world of how do you reach to a customer. I think the challenge within mortgage banking is the question that because of the refinance model, the customer came to us, and the customer basically was in the mode of knowing what they wanted. Now, with a purchase money model, you're talking about having to, and originators are being tasked with this whole issue of explaining why should you purchase a home and take on debt. And that is really, and that educational component is really driven by the originator being able to reach out and educate through social media. So we are definitely seeing a change in the workforce that has to happen. Although we've talked about rookies forever, and I know, Alice, you've heard me talk about it forever. We need to go to that part because it's very difficult from a retraining mode to get a very experienced originator who used to have 10 referral sources is now down to 2 and is trying to just last the next 5 years. So I definitely think there is a new restructuring that has to happen, and the lenders that understand this are really are going to be the ones that are survive, that will survive.
Good point. You bring up social media, which gets us right into technology. Alan, what's your thoughts?
Hey, thanks for having me back again today. Hi, Pat. How are you?
Hi, Alan. How are you? I loved your story.
Makes me think of two things, right? Makes me think of course, technology. Analytics first, right?
I
think, and this is a question, lenders need the data to understand not only where there's risk and what they're paying and what it costs them, but I think they need to benchmark that as well, right? So I'll pause there because I have another question, but I'll let you answer that one.
Oh, I think you're right on. I mean, too often what I see at lenders is that, and I really kind of can't imagine how you really don't know your financial numbers per loan officer, per basically individual. There's usually this wrapping up strategy that most companies have. So I would tell you that certainly we have the financial analysis that has to be a lot better in mortgage banking, and that's certainly the technology is there. It's just that we haven't had to worry about it because we were very profitable, but now that situation is different. And I would say the other component of it is definitely data mining. It's all about, and I really do think there has to be a refocus on who owns the customer. And I don't know that mortgage bankers really have asked that question a lot. Who owns the customer? Is it the lender that owns the customer, or is it the originator that's the customer? I would tell you again, from my viewpoint, is that certainly the reality of it is that the lender needs to kind of really redefine the ownership, because data mining is definitely an expensive analytical component, and expecting the loan officer to do that, I think, is unrealistic.
Yeah, I would agree. And, you know, I think it's also fair lending risk. So I think you've got to look at all those components. But really answered my second question, which is, without naming for me any companies, I know that there's a number of great technology companies that are doing things with LO compensation. Or David's had one of them on the show in the past. What are your thoughts on some of the solutions that are out there? What could people connect with if they're interested?
Again, I think one of the ones that I think is really a pretty powerful system is the one that it used to be called Alight. It's now called Revos, where they can get down and do really what-if scenarios down at the micro level, and that's really what you need. And so, but I would agree with you. It's not that we don't have the technology analysis companies out there. We do. It's just getting companies to really recognize that this isn't a temporary phenomena, that this is going to be what mortgage banking is going to be like. And I would have to say, as a whole, most of the, especially on the sales side, you know, their analytics aren't that great, except very basic type of numbers, which I also leads me to one of my other issues that I'm always big on, is that I do think in many mortgage lending outfits that they are, the way the head of sales is compensated is really tied together with number of originators hired. And I think that whole strategy has led us to this game of let's hire more people as our solution set. And I'm sure if you went to the Mortgage Bankers Conference just recently, the number one solution set that most people are saying is that solution set. And that is by far the wrong solution set, because that's going to let you decline faster. So a lot of things
absolutely. You go back to what you said earlier about training and education. You know, there's a lot of great companies and partners out there that are all about loan officer education and how to better engage with our customers.
Right.
And when you think about that, just hiring as many LOs as you can so they can all refinance their mom, their dad, their uncle, and then they turn over because they can't close any more deals. They never were really trained. So that's a really big deal, what you mentioned. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I see that within mortgage banking. If you look over the last 10 years, and all of us have worked in mortgage banking for a long time, I mean, the decline of investing in the employees to change their selling skills, and I know Alice can talk about this for sure, it just has gone downward and downward. We are expecting the originator to make these adjustments to the new world of selling, and that's not going to happen. It is the company's responsibility, and of course, the company's looking like, well, loan officer, you do it on your own. It's up to you, and I'd say that's the wrong strategy. So the companies that will win, from my viewpoint, are the companies that recognize that it's your brand out there that's being really handled by a salesperson that you want to have with the latest skills, and this whole issue of, well, they're on their own, that's really, to me, the wrong strategy.
Couldn't agree with you more, I think. And if they have that strategy, the LOs are saying, why don't I just go out and start my own business? You're not doing anything to help me grow. So, and
exactly.
I think that's one more thing that's just going to accelerate this wholesale trend. Joe, you've been in these businesses for a long time, and Pat brought up costs. What are your thoughts? Is there any questions you have for Pat in light of this important discussion?
Well, a comment you just made was where I was going to go with a question. That is, for Pat, who works with LOs all the time, many of those LOs, I'm sure, have been in a situation where their company was being sold. And so do you, Pat, have advice for buyers and sellers? I mean, mean, sellers got to keep their team together in order to have something to sell, and buyers need to keep the team together after they buy in order to have made a good purchase. So from the LO's perspective, what should owners know as they're contemplating a purchase and a sale?
Well, it's a great point that you raised, and I would tell you that I've spent 20 years on this whole analytics of predicting sales success within mortgage banking. So if I'm going to be a buyer of a company, I'm going to make sure that part of my evaluation component is looking at, do these individuals have the components of the personality traits that translate into mortgage origination? What we have in mortgage banking is 60% of our originators are unprofitable. So we know we haven't done a very good hiring job. We need to be, and the number one thing any buyer needs to be aware of is that, what are we really getting? We really want to get that 40% that do 80% of the business. And so it's important that you stratify when you're purchasing a new company or a new team to evaluate, does each individual have the right sales personality traits to be successful within mortgage banking? I have an analytical component that we've done with industrial psychologists for 20 years. And here's the interesting trivia for everybody, is that for the last 20 years, the personality traits to be successful in mortgage banking really haven't changed that much. And so what has changed is the external environment of having order takers. We now hire order takers and we don't evaluate these individuals enough. So the answer
so
to your
true.
Question really goes down to, you know, what am I buying? Well, I want to make sure they have, as a base point, that they have the right sales talent. And then I need to see, do they fit our culture and do they fit our process? So there is an evaluation that they need to do. And those are the types of things, I mean, I'm involved with that all the time. So, but yeah, I'd have to tell you that it's a crucial point, because if they can't sell and you just bought them, that's going to be a costly mistake.
And the other thing to consider, I guess, is what is their deal where they are? Are they being sold because their deal is too rich to the benefit of the LO? And therefore, if they lose that, might that be a concern to the buyer for what have they really purchased?
As I would say, as the Wall Street people say, every day when people leave to go home, there goes my asset. So
yeah.
You want to make sure
yep.
you have the right asset coming back. So I would agree
right.
that companies need to be more, you know, specific and more scientific in their evaluation. Just like there's a science of sales, there's a science of people analysis, and that's really critical today. And unfortunately, some lenders think experience is enough, and that doesn't translate, because we need new skills, and those skills are definitely skills that people that have been in the business may not have, and so we need to recognize that. So again, great points.
Good stuff, Joe. Great questions, all y'all, as they say here in Texas. Pat, one of the things as we wrap this up is, what should originators do to compete in this new world? It's their strategy. It needs to be their strategy. And I'm interested in what you're recommending for strategies for them in 2019 and beyond.
I think for sure that all originators, and really it's already been mentioned, you have to know your customer in a minutia way. I think in the past we were willing to accept really not understanding our customer, and the fact of the matter was, how often do we actually tap into our past customers for referrals? We really haven't done that. So number one for originator, for sure, what has been called the data mining, and that really should be an evaluation that the loan officer does if they're looking at another company. And then the other component that needs to be in place today that's really hasn't been before is that we have to get earlier in the sales process. And by that I mean, again, refi market, you didn't have to. Purchase market, you have to explain as a loan officer and educate individuals that may not be interested. We talk about getting the millennials interested. Well, that's because our loan officers have been reactive and not have been proactive, which is, why should you go in debt for 30 years to own a home? And that really becomes more of your role. So I think there's two components, really understanding your consumer, which I think a lot of times isn't there. And I think this other issue, we have to get earlier in the process. We have to continually engage through that process. And the reality of it is that with the refinance market, you have a customer that knows what they want. We're trying to sell a customer that doesn't know what they want. So it's a longer sales cycle that requires you to be engaged in a continuous way. So there are three things that I think are critical for any loan officer who wants to be successful in our new market.
Excellent point. You just only cracked the lid on this very important topic. And sure, there are a lot of our listeners. You got to come back. I mean that. Let's do that again. Paul's listening in. I want him to schedule us for January and get you back as we really start getting a fresh start on the new year. As we wrap up this year, looking forward. These are great comments. But how can people get in touch with you, Pat? What's the best way? Phone number, email?
I want to give you my website. It's patsherlock.com. And, of course, my email is psherlock@qfsconsulting.com. Love to hear from you. Certainly reach out if you have any questions.
Excellent. I tell you, Pat, every time I sit and listen to you on this podcast, I go and I sit down with you and go, why don't I have you on more often? It's always rich content. And it's common sense, and it's much needed. So, yeah, appreciate it. A voice of reason.
Thanks so much.
In an industry that seems, especially in the production world, but seems to be kind of unreasonable. Appreciate it. Folks,
Thank you. Next week,
good to have you, Pat. Have a blessed week, and I look forward to having you back soon. Next week, listeners, we've got Kelly Resendez coming on. She's Executive Vice President of the Paramount Partners Group. She's written two books, The Foundations of Sustainable Success and the recent bestseller, Big Voices. I had the chance to sit down and record this interview. Kelly is dear person I got to meet at the Social Survey Convention, and we finally got a chance to record this interview. I'm really excited to share it with you next week, so be sure to check it out. Tell others about it. Appreciate you tuning in today. A special thank you goes out to our sponsors, Arch MI, Black Knight, Open Mortgage, the MBA, Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Velma, the Knowledge Coop, and Vidyard, doing a great job of helping us communicate our message. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.